I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me for 2 hours of a safe space for the independent thinkers out there. Next hour, I'm going to get into some Tech Tuesday. I have got both funny and concerning tech clips. I've toyed around with this segment for a while, and I end up on my notes sheet just collecting links to stories about technology that I find intriguing, concerning, interesting, and some actually funny. So we'll get to some of those things next hour. One of them is this cashless society they're trying to march us into. And the other is the electric cars. I got to tell you, we're not ready for the electric car revolution that they are basically forcing down our throats. I'm desperate to drive the new Porsche 911 electric car. I talked to a guy who had driven one of those things. He said, you can't help but smile in this car. The acceleration is so incredible in that thing. So I'm not a hater of electric vehicles, but I'll share stories with you next hour that show you we're not ready for this. And for them to cram us into this green technology, it's backfiring all over the place. We better start resisting. And a little bit more about resistance in just a second. I'll get through my quote of the day today, which I give you from the great George Carlin. I only have to censor one word in this passage, too. That's pretty good for George Carlin. I can't do a whole lot of George Carlin audio clips. I've pulled some up before, but I got exhausted trying to edit them down to be FCC compliant. But George Carlin says, that's all the media and the politicians are ever talking about, the things that separate us, things that make us different from one another. That's the way the ruling class operates in any society. They try to divide the rest of the people. They keep the lower and the middle classes fighting with each other so that they, the rich, can run off with all the boop money. Boy, wouldn't we love to have George Carlin alive right now to see what is going on. He would have so much to say, so much to say. The other night I was at the critical race theory presentation that was put on at Tri-County Academy. The things that are involved in critical race theory, in their own documents, on what they are trying to achieve, how they should achieve it, I actually, and this was not a funny presentation, I will tell you, it was very concerning. I found myself laughing out loud. I think I could take the bullet points of the left's critical race theory ideas, and I think I could create a comedy act out of them. And I'm not joking, ironically. They are so absurd that when you hear them said out loud, it would certainly be a good litmus test for the crowd to see who is a functionally intellectual American. They were so funny. And that would be right along the lines of a George Carlin thing. Maybe I can take up the mantle where George Carlin left off. Anyway, he's dead on. They're separating you. Don't fall for it. Don't be hating your liberal cousin or your Trump-loving neighbor. The sick out. We talked yesterday about Let's Go Brandon and how excited I am about that. I think it's fantastic because it is so dismissive of a politician. I really don't care which side of the aisle I'm. There's a few that might be good people, but 99% of all politicians really deserve our scorn, our ridicule. We shouldn't be listening to any of these people. And I love Let's Go Brandon. It's just so dismissive of Joe Biden. And it's fun. The right's having a little bit of fun. The left is incapable of any humor these days. But I think that's fun. But I'm watching intently of these resistance efforts towards things like vaccine mandates, and they are coming to a head. I love the idea of Australian truckers shutting down some of their highways. I never got reports that really took fire in Australia, but I have great admiration for an Australian trucker because these people are hardcore down there when it comes to enforcing these mandates in Australia. And some of these truckers probably risk their lives. They certainly risk their freedom to bring commerce to a halt there. So I love the people who are fighting against this by any means necessary. And Southwest pilots, they've got a fourth day, I believe, of interrupted travel. Southwest fell apart again over the weekend, canceling more than 1,900 flights Saturday and Sunday. On Sunday, a busy fall break and holiday weekend travel day, the airline axed 30% of its flights, stranding travelers across the country. Monday cancellations were a fraction of weekend levels, but Southwest still led all carriers in cancellations with more than 350. And so this is effective. Southwest Airlines, you know, they used to have that CEO, Herb Keller. When Southwest came on the scene, you remember how light and fun Southwest Airlines was? The flight attendants were encouraged to kind of joke around with the passengers. The fares were low. They were kind of hip and funky. And, of course, like all corporations, when they get to a certain size, I guess Herb Keller either passed away or moved on from the CEO. And it's another one of these things where I'm sure some bean counter comes in and starts destroying the airline. I used to be a big fan of Southwest. This is what their CEO, Gary Kelly, said. He said, quote, "It was a very difficult weekend for many of you. I've seen speculation on the reasoning. The fact is," this is what Gary Kelly said, and the speculation he's talking about is the fact that these pilots are resisting this vaccine mandate. They are refusing to get the shot. And it's a wink, wink, nudge, nudge, because apparently it is illegal for Southwest pilots to organize a formal sick out. You know, there's all kinds of federal laws about what you can and can't do, and that's one of those things for unions. So they can't announce it. It's just been this stealth thing that has happened. And I've seen emails from Southwest pilots, not to myself, but to some reporters out there, the few investigative reporters left. And these pilots are saying, hey, you know, keep my name confidential, but here's what we're doing. And American pilots said they're poised to do the same thing. But the CEO of Southwest says, no. The fact is that Florida weather on Friday and unexpected ATC issues, I assume that's air traffic control issues, on Friday night resulted in delays and cancellations across our network, and it just got us behind. Yeah, he knows better. This is just a PR stunt. The head of Southwest Airlines just saying,
all right, move on. Nothing to see here. Please disperse. Nothing to see here. Please.
So they're trying to pretend, oh, no, our pilots aren't. No, it has nothing to do with the vaccine mandate. Well, we'll see. Hopefully this bleeds off into American Airlines. And, you know, this is, we talked yesterday a little bit about kind of getting your family prepared for what's coming. I would love to see truckers strike, UPS, FedEx. I don't care who it is. I don't care how inconvenient it is to myself. I'll be okay. But these people who control kind of the levers of commerce in this country, they need to bring this country to a grinding halt until these bureaucrats and control freaks with their needles ease up, chill out, and get away from us. So I support it. So let's hope we see that with American Airlines coming up. I've got what could be a recurring segment here on the show, and it is, who's getting screwed by today by the hysterical hypochondriacs out there? Because there are people losing their jobs, losing lifetime careers to this ridiculous jab. And it is really getting bad. It's probably time to start naming and shaming some of these companies. Clay last hour was talking about Mistletoe Marketplace requiring a vaccine or a negative test. It's time to start fighting back against these people. So we'll start calling them out by name. I've got a couple of things to look at when we come back on the other side of this break. Stay with us. Radio is the nation. They say you better listen to the
by some reason. But they don't give you any choice because they think that it's treason.
You know, what we are seeing right now is some of the sickest stuff I've ever seen in the United States. We know there's a lot of cruelty and bizarre things that have happened in history. We keep referencing it. You know, 1930s Germany, where the Germans just went along with otherizing the Jewish people up to the point that they exterminated 6 million of them. And we've all been scratching our heads for damn near a century trying to figure out how in the world did the Germans, did they not know? Were they not paying attention? Well, now we know. We know that people will keep their head down and allow horrible atrocities to go on around them. And in a large portion of society here in the United States, and I'm sure around the world in every historical example, large portion of society will enthusiastically go along with cruelty. And this is what we're seeing right now with these careers destroyed due to a mandated vaccine that doesn't even work. I mean, I can't imagine when we get that virus that actually kills half of 1% of the people. That would be doubly as bad as COVID. Half of 1% who contract it. Can you even imagine the draconian measures that will go there? The headlines would read, twice as bad as COVID, still would be nothing to 99.5% of the people, but it doesn't matter. Next hour in the tech segment, I'll be honest with you, I showed up this morning with basically no show when I got to the studio. I just didn't have one. But it didn't take but a couple of clicks and a couple of notes I'd taken before to send me down a rabbit hole. I'm gonna suggest something next hour when it comes to Tech Tuesday based on some tech news of maybe what's behind the insanity we're seeing right now. Something's got to explain it to me. I'm a curious guy. I need to know. I need to know why so many Americans have lost their ever-loving minds and become just the pettiest of tyrants. Now, I'm not just talking about the people in control. I'm talking about the people who are sitting by and watching what's happening to people right now lose their careers over a vaccine that does not work for a disease that is not a danger to that many people. And those are all facts. They're all statistics bear out what I just said. And yet there are a lot of people out there, some listening to me right now, saying, well, everybody should take this shot. I got to tell you, you're borderline retarded right now if you believe in vaccine mandates. No, I take away the borderline. This is Megan Gray. This is what happened to her last Thursday. She signed off of her Thursday morning news show with a cryptic announcement from the desk of WLOX News in Biloxi, Mississippi, where she had co-anchored Good Morning Mississippi for 14 years. And I want you to hear the pain in this woman's voice.
I did want to just take a little moment and let you know that I honestly do not know what the future holds for me as far as my career here at WLOX News. And I just felt that I owed it to you, to take a moment while I had an opportunity to say thank you for allowing me into your homes for the past several years. I've had a wonderful 18-year career here, and I'm very grateful for every moment of it.
And she is flanked by, two cowards? Two men that are on the set there with her. I'm sure one of them's the weather guy. One of them's her co-anchor, sports guy. I don't know. They're just staring at her. They're just watching her career be destroyed, watching her lose her ability to earn a living. And she put out the next day that she was no longer with them. Gray Television, the parent company of WLOX, has implemented a company policy that all employees, managers, guests, outside contractors, and tenants must be fully vaccinated against COVID-19. So she puts in here, she's more magnanimous than I would be. She says this is a corporate decision, not WLOX. Well, WLOX, you should have threatened to go dark with this corporation. She's not taking the vax. Her career's over. And one of the things that she says that is so sad is that she doesn't think she can find a job anywhere else because the rest of the nut job media outlets are doing the exact same thing. She can't find a job. nurses are experiencing the same thing, too. I think there are some health services that are not demanding that nurses get the jab. They will be staffed. Let me tell you right now, you need medical care? Go find the place that is not requiring their employees to get the jab. There you will find the thinking nurses, the courageous nurses, the most competent nurses, the nurses that actually pay attention to their patients. I may have to put together a website where we can identify that. If you need care, go to somewhere that has not demanded that their employees all take an experimental shot. Because that healthcare facility is also more attentive to the individual needs of people. If you go to a mass vax place that demands their employees bend the knee and become part of the experiment, God help you. They have no regard for the health and safety of a human being. And where the hell is Tate Reeves in all of this? Has he made a single statement? One single thing where he said, I do not, companies in Mississippi, organizations in Mississippi, should not be mandating these shots for their employees. I mean, I'm not even talking about him having to take action. I'm saying, has he put out a statement that said, I stand up for all Mississippi residents? I mean, these are his citizens that are losing their job. I've taken several phone calls, usually off air, from National Guard troops. Some of them with long careers. And they've just told me, well, I'll be out in a few weeks. If they push this thing, I'm going to be out. Tate Reeves won't even stand up for the Mississippi National Guard? You know, our troops. Has Tate Reeves, if he's made a statement to that effect, I will read it. Now, the statement is not enough. He needs to do more. He certainly could direct state agencies. Now, I'm gonna part with a lot of people here. You're not going to like what I'm about to say. Let me read this first. Texas Governor Greg Abbott on Monday issued an executive order that bans vaccine mandates by any entity, including private employers in the state. Quote, the COVID-19 vaccine is safe, effective, and our best defense against the virus, but should remain voluntary and never forced. This is what Greg Abbott, governor of Texas, said in a statement upon issuing the order. The executive order states, quote, no entity in Texas can compel receipt of a COVID-19 vaccine by any individual, including an employee or consumer who objects to such vaccination for any reason of personal conscience, based on religious belief, or for medical reasons, including prior recovery from COVID-19. So Greg Abbott's acknowledging natural immunity. What a rube! He goes on, this is his executive order, quote, I hereby suspend all relevant statutes to the extent necessary to enforce this prohibition. Now, where I'm going to lose some people is, I got to tell you, I just don't like government interfering in private industry. And I know I want to see private employers not mandate vaccines for somebody, but I do, you know, I can't be hypocritical about that. They run their shop. Now, I also believe these employers should be sued to hell and back for forcing their employees. I had Stephen Utroska on, and as a philosophical thing, I don't want the government telling a private business owner, if somebody's got a company and they're one of these hysterical hypochondriacs and they're frightened of their own shadow and they don't want anybody in their store, or they think it's better for business that everybody get vaccinated. Because here's the truth of the matter, and it's a bitter pill to swallow. I know I'm losing people. I know you want me to say that what Greg Abbott is doing is perfect and Tate Reeves should do the same thing. The truth of the matter is, none of us have jobs that we own. We all serve at the pleasure of an employer. And it should be that way. Without that, you know, France had a situation where employers could not fire anybody. And that is causes its own set of problems. But I do believe these corporations should be shamed. I believe they should be sued. And I believe the owners and directors of any business that mandates their employees participate in a medical experiment should be ashamed of themselves. There is a special place in hell waiting for you where they will experiment on you. but I don't think the government should mandate it. But it sure would be nice just to hear Tate Reeves maybe stand in the gap, maybe just make a statement that says Mississippi companies and the state of Mississippi, federal agencies, should not force my Mississippians. Isn't he supposed to be kind of, you know, the daddy bear of the state? Yet he is standing by and watching nurses just kicked out of state institutions. He's just standing by and watching this tear-jerking video of this woman down at the Biloxi News Station where she just abandons, I believe, a 17-year career in media. Obviously, she loved the job. She's crying on air telling you that she's having to resign. Tate Reeves can't work up a press release on that. And besides that, he certainly needs to. But, you know, he can't go against UMC. They're the white coats. He can't go against Tommy Dobbs. Tommy Dobbs is Tate Reeves' Sherpa in the health world. Tate Reeves will do anything Thomas Dobbs says. It is truly disgusting. And to see this going on in our society, all of you people out there who say, well, they just should have taken it. You're sick. I'm gonna diagnose you. I'm not a doctor. I tell you that every Wednesday. You're sick. You've got a problem. That you would stand in judgment of somebody who's not want to participate in a medical experiment, and that's exactly what it is. They're in phase three trials right now. And to tell somebody that they should choose between their livelihoods and being experimented on, shame on you. You're sick. You have a problem. Seek help. I'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. You want to hear a headline? Check this out. This is an entirely factual headline. I mean, this is true. Reports of serious injuries after COVID vaccines near 112,000 as Pfizer asks FDA to greenlight shots for kids 5 to 11. Think about that for just a second. Reports of serious injuries after COVID vaccines nears 112,000 as Pfizer asks FDA to greenlight shots for kids 5 to 11 years old. I'm telling you, I'm going to get in next segment what may be at play here. Something nefarious. I don't know how to investigate it, but I smell a rat. I will say, if you are being forced by an employer to get the shot, or if you know somebody who is having to choose between their livelihoods and their employment, email me at MikeMadison@WYEB.com, MikeMadison@WYEB.com. I'll verify it first. I thought about just taking calls about that, but I don't want some company just named and we're inaccurate here. But what I'll do is I'll try to contact these companies and get them to give me a statement, and then we'll examine it on the air. We'll take a look at the logic of what they're thinking by forcing their employees to take a vaccine that doesn't stop you from getting COVID. It doesn't stop you from transmitting COVID. And there's been hundreds of thousands of injuries, everything from serious to minor, and about 15,000 deaths that we know of. A lot of numbers suggest it's significantly higher than that. So if you'll email me or tell your friend or somebody just to email me, I'll get a statement from the company. We'll start taking a look at these things. We'll start calling out these employers, and I'll bet you. I think I heard Clay talking earlier today that maybe Kim Wade mentioned this yesterday. I didn't even hear her show, so I missed it. But I believe we can probably get all the show hosts on board with, you know, kind of examining what Mississippians are being put through. Because it doesn't seem like anybody else is going to call out these companies. There's another hell of a headline here I ran across. The New York Post, which is really, you know, for mainstream media, typically one of the better ones. I was wildly disappointed to see this headline, but I want to show you how misleading this is, or I guess propagandistic. And I'm not sure why New York Post did this, but here's the headline. From the New York Post yesterday, smoking marijuana could lead to breakthrough COVID cases, study finds. Smoking marijuana could lead to breakthrough COVID cases, study finds. Well, I was interested in that. I'm certainly not somebody who says, you know, ingesting any kind of smoke into your lungs is good for you when there's a viral disease going around. So I'm open to that idea. So I clicked through on the story. I'm a proponent of freedom. You know what else makes you susceptible to COVID? High fructose corn syrup. You want to ban it? But anyway, but here's the story itself. Again, the headline says smoking marijuana could lead to breakthrough COVID cases. And we know we live in a country where people mostly read headlines. So here it is. Heavy marijuana users who are also vaccinated may be more susceptible to breakthrough cases of COVID-19, a new study found. The study, published last Tuesday in World Psychology, found that those with a substance abuse disorder, SUD, a dependence on marijuana, alcohol, cocaine, opioids, and tobacco were more likely to contract the coronavirus after receiving both their vaccination shots. Those with an SUD saw a 3.6, excuse me, those without an SUD saw a 3.6% rate of breakthrough infections compared to 7% rate in those with an SUD. That's a, again, substance use disorder. The headline completely implicates marijuana, but it's any addiction. Marijuana, alcohol, cocaine, opioids, and tobacco. That is not a hard headline to fix. Substance abuse may cause breakthrough cases. It's a more accurate headline. It's a more complete headline. And it says what this study actually says. I found this just to be fairly interesting, that this is the way that they couched this in their headline targeting marijuana itself. I sure would hate to find out that the New York Post is heavily subsidized by the pharmaceutical companies. They're pretty good on political reporting, but I may have to keep a close eye on them when it comes to health reporting, and maybe I'll go peruse the New York Post later on today and see the pharmaceutical money that's flowing into their organization. We did get some good news here. Let me see if I've got a clip of this here. I'm sure we do. The man can't stay off of television. So for any of you sitting there with bated breath, waiting to get the okay, I told you, the CDC, hold tight, hold tight. The CDC is putting together their guidelines for your Christmas. Don't make any plans. Don't plan to travel. Don't do any family plans until the CDC has spoken and told you what you may and may not do with your Christmas this year. But Anthony Fauci, the benevolent dictator that he is, in certain cases, he says you may be able to go trick-or-treating.
Dr. Fauci, more than 3 in 4 eligible Americans have now gotten a vaccine shot. For the first time in more than 2 months, the U.S. is reporting fewer than 100,000 daily cases. So are we at a new hopeful moment in the pandemic?
Ooh, my fingers are crossed. Come on. Are we getting there? Can we start living our lives anytime soon, Dr. Fauci?
Well, Danner, it's certainly going in the right direction. As you mentioned, the seven-day average of cases is below 100,000. It's about 95,000. Hospitalizations are down below 10,000, around 7,400. And deaths are down below 2,000. They're now around 1,400. So it's certainly going in the right direction. That's the good news. And hopefully it's going to continue to go in that trajectory downward. But we have to just be careful that we don't prematurely declare victory in many respects. We still have...
I can't listen to him anymore. I can't do it. I was going to get him to where he says basically, you know, in the right situations, if you're outdoors, hopefully you've been vaccinated. You know, they're going to roll this vaccine out before, I believe the target date right now for kids, for our children, I think is October 26th. How many paranoid, delusional parents are going to rush out to make sure their children get the jab before Halloween to protect them, like Herr Fauci, the mini Mengele, suggested? But he is giving the green light to trick or treat. I mean, this is difficult to take. I can't watch that man for a minute more. I'll be right back. We'll be right back. searching for an email that contained a clip somebody had sent me. Couldn't find it. Do you clean out your email box all the time? I know people who have like 30 emails in their entire, you know, they dispense with the conversation or they take care of something and then they delete the email and then they empty their trash. I have got 27,565 unread emails in my email account. So I've got a notification. I guess I've got some work to do. Go back through there. I'm so cluttered. So cluttered. I'm a bad personal administrator to myself. Now, that is an email aggregator. If you send things to me at MikeMadison@WYAB.com, I'll get those. I don't do the same thing there, but I do tend to store things. I don't know. I feel like I might have to go back and reference a conversation at some point or something. I'm taking up a lot of server space. I apologize for my carbon footprint just in storing my almost 30,000 unread emails staying there. A couple other headlines I wanted to take a look at here. I saw these. Oil prices skyrocket as global energy crisis worsens. I'm telling you, be prepared for this fall. Might be a good year to be in the firewood business. Hopefully not here in Mississippi, but around the country, particularly up in the Northeast, I got to tell you, if you've got some trees, you may be in business. $80 oil is here. $100 next? ? So we're seeing all of these things go. There was a story about Heinz, Kraft Heinz. They're basically saying, yeah, you need to get used to this. And I want you to listen to the train wreck, just the absolute catastrophe that has been caused by these people and their reaction to coronavirus. It's insane. Sweden did nothing. And they did so much better than us. They did nothing. Europe and America, we freaked out. We allowed the control freaks to take control. We had a worse outcome with COVID, and things like this are happening. Global food prices are at fresh decade highs, leading to even higher grocery bills for the working poor. And the supply chain chaos pulls the emerging energy crisis is making things worse. Food producers such as Kraft Heinz Company have struggled with shortages, supply chain woes, labor issues, higher energy costs, and rising ag commodity prices, all of which support higher food inflation. The BBC spoke with European boss of Kraft Heinz, Miguel Patricio, who warned that consumers must get used to higher food prices. He said, quote, "We're raising prices where necessary around the world. It's here to stay." And just think about the fact that this is all pretty much at the feet of coronavirus response that is happening so abruptly. Now, the Fed's been printing up money. Inflation was going to come. Trump made inflation worse. Obama made inflation worse. Bush, Clinton, Bush, Reagan, Carter, Nixon. Nixon, really. Nixon's the one that opened up the floodgates on the printing presses. So let's toss Nixon in there with all your little memes about how Joe Biden is the reason you're paying higher prices for everything. Oh, Joe Biden's definitely part of the problem, and particularly because he's been a political parasite for 40 years in Washington, D.C., overseeing these inflationary policies. But you might want to toss Nixon in there, who took us off the gold standard. Now, in response to the fact that Americans and really people around the world are struggling, and the governments don't seem to give a crap, they just want theirs, we're seeing this this new global minimum tax. Apparently, it's a 15% minimum tax on corporations around the world. You know, a treaty with everybody. Every single government around the world is expected to sign on to the Screw Our Citizens bill. Because guess who's going to pay that extra 15%? Oh, you think that the board of directors of a major corporation like Amazon or Walmart, you think the board of directors is going to look around at each other at their meetings and go, oh, gosh, golly gee willikers, we're all going to make 15% less this year because they're going to tax us. Oh, no. Corporations don't pay taxes. Their customers pay taxes. They will show this in their pricing with this absurd idea of a global minimum tax. Of course, it's couched as a way to catch these big multinationals that aren't paying their fair share. Anybody who gets away with not paying taxes is okay in my book. It is abusive that these corporations hire lobbyists to then rig the tax code so that General Electric pays zero in taxes while you give up half of your annual income to taxing authorities across the board. That is disgusting. It's not right. But every dollar sent to Washington, D.C. is a dollar destroyed. But Jen Psaki, the White House spokeshole, this is what she had to say about it. You know, oh, this tax, it's going to be nothing. Don't worry.
Obviously, the president's commitment remains not raising taxes for anyone making less than $400,000 a year. There are some, and I'm not sure if this is the case in this report, who argue that in the past, companies have passed on these costs to consumers. I'm not sure if that's the argument being made in this report. We feel that that's unfair and absurd, and the American people would not stand for that. But I will take a closer look at this report and get you a more substantive response. Go ahead, Jackie.
Yeah, it's absurd that corporations would raise their prices to cover their new tax burden. It's absurd. She'll look into it. They'd never do that. And she said American consumers wouldn't stand for something like that. What the hell are we going to do, Jen? What choice do we have? The price is the price in most places. Now, I'm a minimalist. Join me in my minimalism movement. It's wonderful. I drive by so many retail places, and I see people coming in, and I see parking lots full, and I just say, I don't get it. Why is everybody buying all of this stuff? So I've already kind of rebelled against the consumer economy. But, Americans won't stand for it. You hear that? It sounds like Jen Psaki and the Biden administration think we have all the power. I'll tell you what, I'm not standing for these high gas prices. I'm not sure what I'd do about it exactly. You can't even pump and run anymore, right? Everything's got to be. I wonder if young people even know. We are only, what, 20 years? Maybe 10 years ago. Probably 20 years ago. You could actually pump gas. And the gas station expected you to walk in and pay for it after. It was on the honor system. It was not that long ago. We were a much more moral people. Now, obviously, we weren't real moral or they wouldn't have changed the policy. But you used to actually be able to just go to the pump, crank it up, load your car up in gas, and then most people went in and paid for it. Every now and then, somebody would skedaddle and there'd be a problem. But yeah, I guess Jen Psaki thinks we've got all of the power. I just, for the life of me, I can't figure out how you exercise it against inflation and into the taxes that are going to be baked into this stuff. Of course, we have our Treasury Secretary, the former Fed head, Janet Yellen. This diabolical little troll. Just looking at her, I think, how in the hell is this woman have any power over anybody? She's about 4'2", white hair. She looks like some kind of a garden gnome. Yet she is just she's a tyrant. And she was addressing this $600 threshold on nosing around in your bank accounts.
There's an enormous tax gap in the United States, estimated at $7 trillion over the next 10 years.
Do you understand what the tax gap is? The tax gap, that is, I'll translate it for you. Washington spends so much money that they don't have that they need to go out and take it from people. It's not like there is you pay a cable bill or you pay a cell phone bill. It's $100 a month. You know, you got to raise $100 a month. And next month, you got to get another $100, right? And if you only bring in $70, you've got a $30 gap to pay your cell phone bill. But you don't go out and buy more and more. You've got $70. You go out and buy more and more iPhones and more accessories and all these other things. They create the tax gap. It's not a lack of revenue. It's the spending that's the problem. But she thinks going after more money in the couch cushions, in people's pockets is the solution to that.
In terms of a shortfall of tax collections to what we believe are owed, and that's not coming from people failing to report wage income or dividend income where there's good information.
Where we can track every nickel of it.
It comes from places where the information on income is opaque and can be hidden.
Yeah. They want to make sure that they know if you had a garage sale. Yeah, we see. What's all this cash? What's that $680 in cash just suddenly appeared out of nowhere? And then we went tracking. We found on Craigslist a listing for a garage sale, yet mysteriously you didn't put this on your W-2. I mean, you didn't put this on your 10, what is it though? What's the tax? 1099, whatever it is. Yeah, they're trying to fill the tax gap. We've got politicians overspending and then looking to us to turn us upside down and shake us until every coin falls out of our pockets to make up for the gap that they created. Hell of a system. We are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We're going to get in some tech news, some interesting stories, kind of the good, the bad, the ugly of technology. We have been, I believe, hoodwinked about technology, the idea of technological advancement always being a good thing. I got to tell you, I, a lot of ways I'm not seeing it. And there are some stories that will illustrate that a little bit, and plus some encouraging technologies. And some funny stories about it. But so we've got tech news coming up. Plus, I've got a theory on maybe why we've gone insane. I can't prove it yet. I'm not a good investigative reporter. I need to hone those skills. But there is a technology out there that I believe may have been used against the American people already. And maybe for decades. I ask the question quite often. Because where a lot of people say things like, you know, I can't understand why anybody would demand someone get the vaccine. It doesn't work. It doesn't prevent the spread. You can see that crystal clear, can't you? It just doesn't make any sense to you. You just look around and you see statements from people or even some of your friends and family members. And you say, why would they accept this? I've felt the same way about taxation for 15 years. Why do people just accept it? The government doesn't need your money. They can just print it up. They've shown that. It is just taxes are just to punish you. And even if they needed the money, even if they weren't printing up money, but they were taking money out of your financial future to fund their harebrained schemes, why would you do that? Why would you advocate for a fair tax or a flat tax to that point? Why do you want D.C.? Why do you think they're entitled to, deserve, or need a dollar out of the pocket of a productive American citizen? It's just, it's beyond me, but maybe my theory later on in the show explains it. But here's a little something for you taxpayers out there. You know, I like to pass on thank yous. The Afghan people are not organized right now, tiny bit chaotic over there, so they haven't really gotten together to sign a card to the American taxpayer for all of the weapons that we left them. Now, we did destroy their country for 20 years, but we had quite a parting gift there with what did it end up, about $90 billion in arms? Well, the Taliban won't let the citizens, and the Taliban, they're rude. They were refusing to thank the U.S. taxpayer, so I pass along the thanks. Well, so I want to make sure that I'm always here to give the U.S. taxpayer credit for what you do. A Miami hedge fund manager and his wife, Wayne and Wendy Holman, are likely to make hundreds of millions of dollars, possibly billions, on the new Merck drug, this Molnupiravir, whatever it's called. I call it, I say it's Latin for screw the taxpayer, and I think I'm getting righter and righter as we go on. So they're going to make millions, possibly billions on this drug, and they took almost no risk. How about this? Check this out. And again, this is to you, U.S. taxpayer. They basically got in the way of Merck licensing it from Emory University, where taxpayers had paid for the early development. As a bonus, almost 20 years ago, Wendy Holman, this is a piece from Alex Berenson. If you don't follow Alex Berenson on Substack or Twitter, you're missing some stuff. He's one of the investigative guys, and when it comes to COVID stats and COVID corruption, he is pretty much the go-to guy. And this is a piece that he wrote. Added bonus, almost 20 years ago, Wendy Holman, who at the time had a different husband and a different last name, saw her name pop up in the same insider trading scandal that ensnared Martha Stewart. it too involved a drug company. So a woman who was investigated for insider trading with a drug company is now going to get, and again, these are taxpayer dollars, remember. I'm not sure, is the government going to cover the cost of this Merck drug? I know they've already ordered, I think, 10 million doses of it at $700 a pop. But this is the Ridgeback thing. Ridgeback Biotherapeutics. This is this company that this woman and her husband, a hedge fund manager, own. Had no laboratories, no manufacturing facility of its own, and a minimal track record when it struck a deal in March with Emory University to license an experimental coronavirus pill invented by university researchers with $16 million in grants from U.S. taxpayers. In May, Ridgeback had sold the rights to this drug. I can't even pronounce the name. It's horrible. To Merck for, quote, an undisclosed upfront payment, specified milestones, and a share of the net proceeds of EIDD-2801 and related molecules, if approved. And it's going to be approved, people. It's Merck. They own your government. It will be approved. Neither Merck nor Ridgeback has ever disclosed how much Merck paid to Ridgeback, nor the royalty rates on the drug, but Merck has said it plans to charge $700 for a course of this drug in the U.S., and it expects to produce 10 million courses by the end of this year, implying $7 billion in sales within months. And this woman, who risked nothing, had no R&D. She let Emory University use taxpayer dollars to do the R&D. She goes in, sets up a licensing agreement, flips this drug, and it's going to have $7 billion in sales this year. She gets a piece of that, including an undisclosed upfront payment. So, from Ridgeback Pharmaceuticals, from the hedge fund manager and his wife, Wendy Holman, and from Merck, I say to the U.S. taxpayer, thank you. Thank you so much for being the patsy in this whole thing. And again, I ask you, why you pay taxes? Why? Yeah, that's what I thought. I wanted to mention one thing now, and I'll probably get into it some on Friday. I am the foreign policy guy, probably in Central Mississippi, because I'm fascinated by it. I tell you, I'm an economics nerd. I'm a foreign policy nerd. I'm an anti-war zealot. But a lot of people have been talking about war with China, things heating up over there. It was recently revealed we had sent special operations troops to Taiwan, and I was talking to a friend the other night about this. He was asking me, you know, think we're going to go to war with Taiwan? I said, with China? I said, I don't really think so. This feels like, you know, same kind of things that flare up with North Korea. There's always a standoff here or there, and a bunch of, it's like the debt ceiling, like government shutdowns. It's theater. It is theater. I believe. Now, I'm not saying something doesn't ultimately happen, but I just can't see the impetus of it going down the way that people expect. But when a couple of people had asked me, well, you saw we sent troops to Taiwan. Well, let me get this straight. We have got 700 military bases around the planet in something like 80 countries, but you don't think we had any troops stationed in Taiwan? Now, they did come out and say that they just sent special operations, and this sent the political establishment into a tizzy. The news media, oh my gosh, we're sending troops to Taiwan. Give me a break. Again, we've got 700 bases around the world in 80 countries. Do you seriously believe that we never got around to putting any of our guys in Taiwan? Taiwan has got to be lousy with CIA agents. I mean, this country, it's been a bone of contention with China for decades. China considers Taiwan part of theirs. Taiwan wants to be free and independent, which I totally support. But come on now. This is one of those headlines, this idea that we just sent some troops to Taiwan. These are the kinds of things that I don't like because they insult my intelligence. The media, the Pentagon, the administration, they're all basically saying to the American people, you people are too stupid to realize we've had military in Taiwan for forever. And they were talking also yesterday about the fact that Biden has released some or removed or reduced some sanctions on Chinese tech. Our military should not be buying military parts from China. Duh. I'm on board with that. But it's always kind of cracked me up when I hear,
We don't need to be bringing Chinese tech into the United States because they're going to steal Americans' information. They're going to be spying on us. Well, that may be true, but isn't our own government already doing those things? I think they just don't want the competition. We can't have Huawei. I don't know anything about Huawei. It certainly could be a spy operation from China. I would imagine we are all in the middle. We've got been busting for the last year. There's been big stories about Israel spy software going all around the planet. That's what countries do to each other. But to get you all exercised about a war with China and how aggressive China is, oh, we can't have any Chinese tech in this country. Buy American. I'm all supportive of that. It just kind of cracks me up. Our own government is spying on us constantly. They have everything you do. Your location, your texts, your emails, your voicemails. They're tracking you. At any time you cause a problem, they will pull up your digital file. Find out who you've been talking with, who you've been around, where you've traveled, what kind of news you take in. I mean, they've got it all. So I don't want China spying on me. I don't want to do any business with China that way. But good. I mean, the horse is out of the barn there as far as protecting your privacy. If you think the American government is just concerned about safeguarding your privacy from the Chinese, give me a break. Taiwan's got a bigger problem, too. Check this out. Taiwan deaths from the COVID-19 vaccine exceed the deaths from COVID-19. Yes, you heard me right. In Taiwan, the deaths from the vaccine have now exceeded the deaths from COVID-19. The deaths from COVID-19 to date in Taiwan, 844. The deaths from the coronavirus vaccine, 852. Yeah, I got to tell you, Taiwan, you might want to pay attention to that as well. All right, when we come back, we're going to start getting into some of this tech news. I think it's some interesting stuff. Stick around.
I went home with a waitress the way I always do. How was I to know? She was with the Russians.
All right, it's Tech Tuesday, my horribly neglected segment that I started years ago and just have not been as disciplined with as I do Hump Day Health, False Flag Friday, and this week on the Crazy Train. But technology is made. Can you even imagine a world where technology was used for the benefit of people? Because there are tremendous advances. I'm going to talk to a guy today about stem cell treatments, not for myself, just I'm going to go see what he does, kind of learn a little bit about it. If we actually had benevolent overlords rather than the control freak psychopaths that are running the show, we really should be living darn near close to nirvana by now. But you know what happens when these people get control over technology and it just goes against us. So I'm not a troglodyte. I don't resist these things, but I think we do need to look at the last 50 years. And many of you are not old enough. You know, we don't have that kind of life experience to see these things, but we can look and see what was going on in the 50s and 60s and say, man, things seemed a little bit more calm. There's a big middle class. People were taking vacations. There were tragedies. There was poverty. There were problems back then. But over 50 years of pretty rapid, since I guess I'm kind of labeling it the birth of the personal computer, are we happier now? Are we less stressed than we used to be? And what's the quality of life now with all these technological advancements? As I said, I think that we've been sold on the idea that any kind of technological progress is just automatically good and it should be widely adopted. I mean, look at Facebook. I suggest to you that Facebook, on balance, is a detriment to our society. Now, it's good for a few things. It's good for the small business community. It's good if you want to find a long-lost friend. Of course, that also means it's been fantastic for people who want to reach out and have an affair with an old boyfriend or girlfriend. Last I heard, I think Facebook was involved in about 70% of divorces. But it is one of those things that, you know, as you mark time, you see this kind of technology rising and the interconnectedness of everybody, and it's always sold to us as this, oh, it's this great way to bring everybody together, right? Well,
How's that working out for us? I think it's built big bubbles. Here's some headlines here just to show you kind of the trend that we're on right now. Fired by bot at Amazon. It's you against the machine. So I guess Amazon is not only running their warehouse floors with these robots, which are fascinating to watch. Don't get me wrong. The engineers who come up with this stuff, the efficiency, the speed that they're able to do things at. I don't like that they would displace human beings, but, you know, I am a free market guy. You could have freaked out when the horse and buggy went away. There were a whole lot of buggy manufacturers that went, well, we're losing jobs here. You have to mandate that we keep the buggy. Well, no, the buggy guys went and worked for the car manufacturers. I mean, these things do have a way of working themselves out. I do see huge displacements of workers over the next 20 to 30 years that seems a little concerning, but I'll see how it shapes up. But apparently Amazon not only sorting your packages with robots, but they're also having, you know, they're calling up, and it'd be really creepy to get that robot voice telling you you're fired. Here's one. Security droids expand across the USA with few tangible results. Yeah, they haven't armed them yet. You just wait till they get these. If you have not seen the Boston Dynamics videos of their robots, fascinating stuff. I'm amazed by it. I'm also terrified by it because I can see a few steps ahead. These things are getting more and more capable and agile. It's running up rocky hills. That's a little concerning because what they say about robots is once they perfect the movements, then it's simply about speed. They can replicate the same movements at ever-increasing speeds. Once they figure out the balance, they just make it balance quicker. They make the gyroscope go quicker. They've got to work out everything at slow speed. You know, we all practice things like this. We learn to juggle with just two balls, you know, and then you get to three. And then once you get the mechanics going, then you can just speed up, 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 up. These robots, we're 10, 15, 20 years away from some pretty fast robots. And then there was this headline, how daily lives are tracked by phones, laptops, and even doorbells. And that's right, even our homes, our doorbells are tracking us. There was a story, and I touched on this some yesterday, as I talked about kind of some of the trends that are concerning going forward. It really felt like kind of a doom and gloom show. I don't like those. It's just that we need to resist this stuff. And the war on cash is one of the big ones. The technology around these central bank coins, these types of things, must be resisted at all costs. We have seen people acquiesce to all of the things that they have gone along with over the past year. And I'm telling you right now, this one you do not need to go along with. I don't care how convenient it seems to you. You know, if you like the vaccine, take the vaccine. But don't make everybody else take the vaccine. Don't make it a thing where everybody has to do what you like doing. If you like debit cards and credit cards and hate carrying cash and going to the ATM and you're scared there's a germ on your dollar bill, then knock yourself out. Go do it. But you should resist with every fiber of your being the idea that we have no other choice but to use digital currencies. This is a guy. What's this guy's name here? This is Augustin Carstens. He's the head of the International Settlement Bank, and he's talking about these digital currencies, particularly issued by, I'm not talking about Bitcoin or Ethereum or something decentralized. I believe they're going to crush Bitcoin, Ethereum, all of the kind of private coins. Not to say they can get rid of them. I don't think they can totally control it, but they will scare the population away from using them. They'll criminalize their use, and most people are cowards. They'll run away from them into the loving arms of the central banks, who will then control the currency. And here's what the head of the Bank of International Settlements had to say. He's got a pretty thick accent, so listen up.
Our analysis on CBDC, in particular for the use of...
CBDC is Central Bank Digital Coin. So this is the Federal Reserve, the Central Bank of Europe. These would be kind of the state-sponsored currencies.
In particular for the use of general use, we tend to establish the equivalence with cash. And there is a huge difference there. For example, in cash, we don't know, for example, who's using a $100 bill today. We don't know who is.
Think about that. This guy, he's with the Bureau, the International Settlement Bank, the Bureau of, or Bank for International Settlements.
He's really concerned. I mean, right now, somebody can take a $100 bill. We don't know who has that $100 bill. We don't know what they did with that $100 bill. I got to tell you, my first reaction is, it's none of your damn business who has it and what they do with it. But this is a concern of the central banks.
Who's using a $100 bill today? We don't know who is using a 1,000 peso bill today. A key difference with the CBDC is that central bank will have absolute control on the rules and regulations that will determine the use of that expression of central bank liability. And also, we will have the technology to enforce that. Those two issues are extremely important, and that makes a huge difference with respect to what cash is.
This guy, he's morbidly obese. I mean, I don't know if it's just, I look at this guy and he's just glutton. I mean, this is sick. To tell you what he said, in case you couldn't catch it through that accent, he says the key difference, and this is with a central bank digital coin, is that the central bank would have absolute control on the rules and regulations that will determine the use of that expression of central bank liquidity and have the technology to enforce that. The absolute control over the rules and regulations. This would be such a bad thing. You think they have control over you now? We talk about people who are submitting to these vaccine mandates, to lockdowns, to mask ordering. Can you even imagine if you had to play ball just to have any money in your digital account? They would go in and just take it. When your citizen score dips, maybe they just charge you. We get into a situation of negative interest rates. You know, around the world, they have had negative interest rates, meaning you put $100 into your savings account, and instead of at the end of the year, current rates right now, you'd have $100.50. Gee, thanks, central bankers, for that 50 cents of interest on the money that I saved. But instead of having that 50 cents, you'd be pulling out $98 the next year. They would trap your money in accounts, charge you a negative interest rate, meaning they are charging you to hold their money. And they could do this at the push of a button to anybody at any time. The only escape from that right now, really, because there are agencies that can come in and just take your money out of your accounts. IRS is noodling around, even prior to this $600 limit that they've been talking about, the IRS is noodling around in your accounts constantly. Any debit and credit card transaction, IRS gets records of it. Any suspicious activity in your account, and that can be anything from just a strange one-off deposit, has to be reported to the IRS, even if it's just $3,600. But can you imagine if there was no respite? If you thought the taxing authorities were hot on your path and you wanted just I'm scared they're going to come and take it. I'm going to take $500 cash out of my account just to have it in my pocket just in case they get into my account. But exit blocked. There is no cash. We'll have a thriving barter community should this happen. But I'll tell you what, this should be resisted at every possible moment. Even if you believe it would be convenient and you don't see a problem with it, for the love of God, let's not go down this one. Be right back. All right, we're back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We're doing Tech Tuesday today, the good, the bad, and the ugly. This story has some of both in it. This one kind of cracked me up. I've never had a Roomba. I think a lot of people have had them. I had a German Shepherd, and I don't think a Roomba could have handled the hair that came off of that dog. Greatest dog in the world. So sweet, so smart, so hairy. Oh, I could have stuffed pillows on a weekly basis with that dog's hair. So I've always kind of been envious of the Roomba, although I don't know it was ever up to the task of my beloved Sadie. But here's a headline. This was on Cron. Robot vacuums are learning to avoid dog poop. But that's not all they can see. So listen to what they've done. I don't know if you've seen any of the videos. These things go viral sometimes. You know, somebody's in-home camera, because now people film the inside of their home when they're gone for some reason to check in on the cats or whatever it is. But you'll see a Roomba just barreling over a big pile of dog poo and just smearing it all over the house. Thank you, technology. Boy, did you save me some time with that vacuum cleaner. This story goes on talking about, you know, how great robotics has been, and they talk about Boston Dynamics and their robots that can do parkour. But in the home, this technology is now deployed for the mundane task of spotting the dog poop, a feature with expansive potential privacy costs. I want you to listen to what their plan is for the new Roomba. The Roomba J7 Plus, the latest version of Roomba's popular home vacuum, claims to give customers, quote, even more control over their clean. With a camera that can identify and avoid pet droppings, instead of smearing it all over the floor, the previously approved method, the device will gracefully avoid the poop. And get this, I got to tell you, I don't know who wants this, but apparently they've focus grouped it, I guess. The device will gracefully avoid the poop and even snap a picture and text it to your phone if you're out. That's a whole new definition for sitting at work and just having a crappy day. That's the last thing I need, is somebody texting me a picture of a pile of poop in my house, knowing what's awaiting for me when I come home. I guess they haven't thought about maybe figuring out a way for the Roomba to actually clean up the poop, but they're going to let you know it's there and they're going to avoid it. Oh, the beauty of AI. Of course, your Roomba now will be situated with a camera that will be watching you at all times. It's worse than them hacking into a nanny cam or something. This thing can be awakened to life and come find you to see exactly what you're up to. I do not need to be running away from my vacuum cleaner. No thank you, technology. They're trying to force us into this green revolution, and particularly with the electric cars. I am a big fan of free market solutions to any kinds of problems. Climate change has been going on for billions of years. It's the whole narrative around that is ridiculous. But they are going to try to shoehorn us into this all-electric future. But we are not ready for it. Here's a story that appeared on in the Washington Post in San Francisco. Yogi and Carolyn Vindham were still asleep late last year when their Tesla Model 5 beamed an alert that their charging was interrupted. I'm sure that's inconvenient while you're sleeping. Oh, honey, car. All right, I'll check it in the morning. 12 minutes after that, they awoke to a blaring car alarm and a fire consuming their house in San Ramon, California. The blaze had started in one of the two electric vehicles in their garage and spread to the other. They said if we had lived upstairs in the house, we'd be dead. The fire, which has not been previously reported, is one in a string of recent examples showing what can happen when electric cars are left parked in garages to charge overnight. Well, I mean, none of us want to park our car in our garage and charge it while we're sleeping. We'd much rather do it in the middle of the day and stand at attention while it's being done, right? Doesn't it take a couple hours to charge these cars? Listen to this, what they're saying. They're starting to do recalls. This is not just Teslas, but Tesla. I pulled up to Whole Foods the other day, and I got a spot pretty close to the store, kind of excited, although I'll walk 3 miles to the store during the summer if I can find a shady spot. So I'm not a big search for a close. I like the exercise. I like the fresh air. I think everybody should. But I pulled up. I got a kind of a close spot. I needed to run in and run out somewhere. So I said, oh, that's great. And I pulled up and I looked to the right of me and I realized the car next to me was charging at their charging station. I almost got out of the spot. Have you seen the videos of these cars spontaneously combusting as they are charging? And I just thought, I'm kind of in a hurry today. I'd like to come out of Whole Foods with my car still not smoldering. I left it there. I realized I was being paranoid that the chances, because I can run a risk-benefit analysis, and I realized the chances of the 5 minutes I spent in Whole Foods was probably not going to result in a massive car fire, so I went ahead and left it there. I'm not a hysterical person, but it did cause me some alarm when I saw this thing. But here's what they're saying about these electric cars they are trying to force us into. The issue is causing mounting concern as a number of electric vehicle makers have warned owners not to leave the cars charging unattended. in certain circumstances, or sitting fully charged in a garage. That seems kind of inconvenient. But this is what they're doing. In the UK, they're pulling the rug out from people. You know, they're going to force you into this green tech, and then they're going to just boss you around. They're just going to boss the hell out of you. In the UK, there's a tough dose of, let's get down here, the tough dose of reality that many EV owners in the UK could be facing next year now that a new law has been proposed to switch off home electric vehicle chargers during peak hours. The law seeks to prevent excessive strain on the grid, according to a new article from Inside EVS. Transportation Secretary Grant Shapps announced this. The proposed law stipulates that electric vehicle chargers may not function, quote, up to 9 hours a day to prevent overloading the grid. They're going to cut off your... Now, they're going to leave the public stations alone. So if you need to go somewhere and you need to charge your car, they're not going to let you do it at home if it's during a peak time, which I would imagine during the summers is all day long. If you can get your car to a public charging station, you can wait in line with everybody else who also had their home chargers turned off during peak hours. And I got to tell you, for all this idea of energy efficiency, if these cars are straining the grid so much that they won't let you charge them, that could be a problem. That may mean that they're using an excessive amount of energy. The laws of physics show you don't get more energy out of something than you put into something. So it doesn't matter if it's electric or it's gas-powered. We're still burning the same amount of fuel. This is just as insane as it gets. But anyway, caution to you people who are early uptakers of the electric vehicle. They have not perfected this yet. I'll just say that. And make sure you've got plenty of good fire insurance on your house should you park one in the garage overnight. I'm going to do one technology. I am down with this one. I love this one. And if you haven't seen videos of it on YouTube, you should watch it. I think it's fascinating. I think it's the future. I've talked to a couple of builders that I know and told them, you ought to get into this. It's coming. This is coming, and I think it's going to be huge. We'll see if I'm right.
The world's first community of 3D-printed, zero-net energy homes is set to be built in the desert of California's Coachella Valley. Sustainable real estate development group Polari has joined forces with construction tech company Mighty Buildings on a $15 million development deal to build a community of 15 3D-printed, eco-friendly homes on a five-acre parcel of land in Rancho Mirage, California, an upscale community near Palm Springs. Mighty Buildings manufactures individual panels at its facility that are then put together at the construction site. The company says it can manufacture homes twice as quickly with 95% fewer labor hours and 10 times less waste than conventional construction.
Another human being outsourcing job. Sorry to any of you contractors out there who make money building houses. I just think it's super cool. If you get a chance, go to YouTube and look at 3D printed houses. There are some there. They're obviously not mansions, but I'm a minimalist. I'm fine, and I don't want to be in a tiny home, but you know, you give me 1,200 square feet, I'm fine. But they can print these houses in a day. And if you can't imagine it, it's a giant arm that shoots out basically what looks like a toothpaste line of cement. And they just go back and forth and back and forth underneath this big boom. And they can build these houses in a day, at least put up the shell. You still got to put in windows. You got to plumb it. You've got to run the electric. You got to put a roof on the thing. But they can print the outside of these homes. And, you know, they're kind of modern looking. But this is a technology I think is absolutely fantastic. Some people are going to make a fortune on this because I believe this is the direction where things are headed, particularly if lumber prices stay elevated. When I come back, I'm finally going to get to it. I suspect, how did we fall for all of the COVID nonsense? How do we stay so asleep when it comes to things like taxation or endless wars that don't benefit the American people? There's so many things we have fallen for, and I am constantly looking for a reason. I don't think everybody is stupid about this stuff, because any level of common sense would debunk so many of the things that we're told to believe, and yet people refuse to do it. I'll tell you what I think it could be, and I don't know how to investigate it. Maybe you can help. We'll do that when I come back. Stay with me.
right, final segment for the day, finishing up Tech Tuesday. This show is available on podcast. If you want to get it, you can go to themikemadisonshow.podbean.com. You can get it on Apple Podcasts, and it's in a whole bunch of different places. But more on that in just a second. But haven't you wondered when you look around to the stuff going around with COVID? I don't care if it's, you know, I've been mystified for 15 years why people still believe in either one of the political parties. Take all the drugs, eat all the bad food. I mean, there's so many kind of big things that happen that we know people who buy into these things, COVID being the most recent example. They're not stupid people. And so I find myself just mystified. How are you going along with this? I don't just assume we've got a lot of stupid people. Don't get me wrong. I think Idiocracy is a documentary. But I know a lot of really, I don't surround myself with stupid people. And so I know really smart people who go along with things that are just mystifying to me. I am searching. I am on a quest to figure out what's going on. Maybe I've found it. I ran across this story in my Tech Tuesday research. When brewing giant Coors launched a new advertising campaign earlier this year, the format came as a surprise to many. The company was planning to infiltrate people's dreams to get them to buy and presumably drink Coors beer. Coors encouraged people to watch a short online video before bed, then play an 8-hour soundscape through the night. If successful, this, quote, targeted dream incubation would trigger, quote, refreshing dreams of Coors, according to the company. It's unclear how many people took part in the dream manipulation, but experts warn that the Coors campaign is not just a gimmick and may have opened a door to a troubling future. This is one of those things to me. It sounds like it's one of those, once they tell you that it exists, it's been happening for a long time. I read a book. I think I was a teenager. I wanted to get into advertising. I think I probably should have. My father did not support that dream, I must say. And my grades didn't support a career in advertising either, so pretty much on me. But anyway, but I remember I had a book called Subliminal Seduction. And it was the cover of it. You can go check it out online. The cover of it shows a glass. I think it was a liquor company ad. It's just some kind of a cocktail on the rocks. But they show where the creases in the ice inside the picture spelled out sex. Subliminal advertising was also known to be used in movie reels, you know, because they've just put a couple of frames in there that you don't even notice with your conscious brain, but it infiltrates. That was supposedly outlawed. I bought a meditation tape one time. It was a whole program. They sent out a sample disc of it to let you hear what it was, and it cracked me up because I thought, you know, because the whole thing is about subliminal entrainment, and I thought, these guys are probably geniuses. They got me to listen to this free recording, which is probably subliminally telling me to buy the $200 program. And I did. So I'm very familiar with this kind of manipulation. But is this what is behind our troubles? Is it possible that within newscasts, look, I've been very suspicious of the mainstream media, in particular Fox News. Take a look at Fox News next time you look at it. Look at all of the visual things going on in the screen on Fox News. I have tried to research this, have not found good information about it. But I guarantee you, it is not an accident. It is not some graphic designer that forgot their Ritalin. There are like 30 things moving on a screen. You know, light moving across something, things scrolling. You've got the Chiron along the bottom. There's a backdrop that's got a backdrop to it. Look at a Fox News thing. Fox News alert. Everything is an alert on Fox News. They got to always keep you alerted to things. Everything is an emergency on Fox News. But there is something about that that is manipulating the human mind. And is it possible they've just got a subliminal? Is it in television? Have they got the main? We know they own the media. The government and the media together, are they pre-programming us with stuff? And there's just some of us out there that somehow are immune to this. And that's why we look around and we say, how is everybody else falling for this? It's like Rowdy Roddy Piper, who got the glasses in They Live, and he could see the world actually as it was. Maybe there are those of us. I've never been to a professional hypnotist show. You see people acting like a chicken or whatever, and some people say, I can't be hypnotized. I don't know if that's true or not, but it may be that some of us out there are just not, our brains are wired some special way. We're the chosen.
And it doesn't work on us and these other people that we see that are so asleep, being so duped into things like a huge medical experiment. I mean, I'm searching for anything that explains why people are going along with a mass experimentation on humankind and about to be our children. They're going to experiment on our children by the hundreds of millions around the world. I'm seeking answers. Now, somebody told me the other day that they had fallen asleep listening to my podcast. I immediately was insulted by that first. That's a hell of a thing to tell somebody, but I did warn them that you never know when I'm sneaking in the back tracks of my podcast. It works really well if I can get you to actually go to sleep listening to my podcast. I'm building my libertarian army, and at some point I will put out the triggering tone, and we will all come to arms at the same time. So please, listen to my podcast and do it as you drift off into sleep. Keep it on repeat. It works best if it keeps going all the way through the morning. That's all the time I got. I'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you